Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, meaning she was engaged to Joseph, before they came together physically, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to preach on the subject, conquering the conflict of Christmas. Conquering the conflict of Christmas. Let's pray. Father, I pray you help me, Lord, now as I preach. Help us, Lord, as we consider this particular subject. Lord, how oftentimes things can get difficult during the holiday season. Lord, I pray that you would help me to say that which you'd have me to say. Lord, speak to hearts. I pray that our people would get help this morning. Lord, help those who weren't able to make it. Lord, I pray that you would speak to those, Lord, in this room who may not know for sure that they're saved. And Lord, I pray that you would draw them to yourself. Lord, we're so thankful and grateful that you don't quit on us. That even though we may get frustrated or we may not understand, we may be confused like Joseph, Lord, that you don't quit on us. Lord, I pray that you would help me now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Christmas tests your faith. It starts out here from the very beginning, and in this particular account of the Christmas story, it goes through the generations from verse number 1 through verse number 17, and those are very, very important for the fact that God was fulfilling prophecy in the birth of Jesus Christ, very specific prophecies. And then he gets into the details of the birth, and it talks a little bit about Mary here in verse number 18 through 25, but it talks a lot about Joseph. And so I'm just going to kind of look at Christmas from the perspective of Joseph just for a moment. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll study the subject of Christmas. It's important for us to know this. When we look at the story of Christmas, it's not just a fun story. It's not just a story where we as Christians we just get excited about it, or that it's just something that is kind of a religious thing. Okay, this is an actual account of what happened, and without the accuracy of the story of Christmas, there would be no Christianity. Okay, the virgin birth is incredibly important, and this kind of gives the perspective of that from Joseph's side. And so it says here that the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. If we were to take the time and go over to Luke chapter number 2, Luke chapter number 1 and Luke chapter number 2, we would see that Mary, when she found out that, of course, the angel came to Mary, and the angel says to Mary that she was gonna be pregnant with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right after that encounter that she had with the angel, she ends up going to her cousin's house, Elizabeth's house. So she's gone to Elizabeth's house for about 3 months. And then she comes back, and it seems like it's after she comes back after 3 months' time that she sees Joseph, and Joseph finds out that she has this new figure. She has a baby bump. Now, there's nothing more difficult as a man than looking at a lady, and praise God, I've never actually made this mistake, but some people make the mistake of looking at maybe someone who's gained a little weight and saying, oh, when are you expecting?
Can you imagine Joseph looking at his fiance and thinking, you've been gone for 3 months and you've gained some weight. And I'm hoping that Elizabeth is getting into the pie business and that you've eaten all of her mistakes and you've just simply gained some holiday weight right before the wedding. And yet that is not the case. This is the culmination here of two of the most stressful events that human beings can go through in one way of thinking about it: a marriage and Christmas. Now, this was prior to Christmas. This is the beginning of Christmas. But when we think about getting married, my goodness, it's incredibly stressful. There's all this anticipation. There's all this planning. And there's all this, it's finally going to happen, right? We finally found the one. It's finally coming together. All the planning, all the dreams. And when Joseph found out that his bride-to-be was pregnant, all of these dreams were now gone. We can think of all the hopes that the Jewish people had for the Messiah. This is what every young Jewish couple, especially from the tribe of Judah, had hoped for, the coming of the Messiah. This is something that had been prophesied of from the very beginning, from Genesis. This is what had happened. And on throughout the Bible, there are dozens and dozens of prophecies, and maybe we'll take the time to go through those at another time. By the way, that is one of the ways that we know that we can trust this book. Amen. Okay? Is because of the dozens and dozens of prophecies. No other religious book can boast of this. Matter of fact, I was just reading last night through a particular textbook and goes through the many mistakes in the Quran, for example. There are many, many historical documented mistakes in the Quran. We know that it's not from God. Why? Because there are many mistakes in it. And I'm not talking about grammatical mistakes. I'm talking about historical mistakes. Mistakes where something is written down and we can go back through history and we can see that's not actually what happened. But when it comes to the Bible, there are no historical mistakes. And by the way, they have tried time and time and time and time again. There are people who dedicate their very lives to trying to prove that the Bible is wrong. And it cannot be done. It's never been done. It's never going to happen. And there are people who take an approach when it comes to prophecy that somehow when the prophecy is fulfilled that people will kind of write for an example. Let's just take the prophecy that's listed in this particular story. Let's go to Isaiah chapter number 7. If you have your Bible, Isaiah 7. So we see later on, it says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and they shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus was not Joseph's son. Jesus was God's son. Amen. Okay. So if we go to Isaiah chapter number 7, and it says here, in verse number 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. But before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. And so it says here in verse number 14 that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, and the word Emmanuel means God with us. That was written 700 years before the birth of Christ. 700 years. Canada wasn't here 700 years ago, at least not in the present state of the nation it is today. The United States wasn't here. Mexico wasn't here in the present state that it is today. Matter of fact, any nation that is here on the Western Hemisphere wasn't here at all 700 years ago. And imagine the kind of accuracy that it would take for somebody to predict exactly what was going to happen 700 years from today, 700 years in the... I mean, you wouldn't even know if the world was going to be here in 700 years. Right? Amen. So what the liberal theologians try to do is they try to take something like the prophecy, like this one, and what they try to say is they say, well, that was written later, after they found out that Jesus was born, and then they just kind of like They just kind of used Isaiah's name because he's an historical figure, and they wrote out the prophecy. So it would be like trying to say, this is what happened in the news this week. But then like applying the date 700 years before and saying, oh, we knew this was going to happen. But the thing is that there's way too many intricacies of Scripture that point to that when 700 years ago, that's actually what happened. It was actually Isaiah that wrote it. It was actually Isaiah. It was actually Moses that wrote the Pentateuch. It was actually this prophet and that prophet and every single prophecy. And so that is one reason why we can trust the Word of God when it talks about Jesus came to save us from our sin. Why? Because of fulfilled prophecy. He wrote this 700 years before and it actually happened. There is a story of, and I read this week as well, there's actually a story of Alexander the Great when he came through Jerusalem and he saw the prophecies that were talking about the Grecians that he kind of left Jerusalem alone. And there's so many different things that we can go through, and that's one of the most interesting studies we can make is the study of prophecy. But listen, if God is correct about something 700 years before it actually happened, then that means he's correct about what he's saying is going to happen in the future. Right? He's not just saying, oh, just trust me, without a track record. He gives us a long established track record. And of course, several weeks ago, we had even a slide presentation up here that talked about different archaeological finds where people and theologians would look at a particular liberal theologians who came from a perspective of evolution would say, no, that can't be true. We don't have any outside evidence that any of this occurred. And yet, as they continued to learn, and as they continued to dig, and as they continued to find things, it actually revealed time and time and time again, yeah, the Bible actually is true. And it's always been true. And it always will be true. Amen. The conflict of Christmas is that many times for people, Christmas is a time when it can be incredibly stressful. If you speak to anybody in the law enforcement field, or if you speak to anybody in the medical field, this is a time when there's a lot of suicide attempts. This is a time when there's a lot of substance abuse. I printed out something from the Canadian Psychological Association. And something that you find is that some of their practical, suggestions for helping with holiday stress are not necessarily bad things, but they're inadequate, to be honest. But they're really good at identifying the problem. Holiday stress talks about holidays and celebrations are events out of the ordinary, and we often expect something extraordinary of them. Many of us want to find the perfect gift, prepare the perfect meal, or host a family gathering where every member of the family brings out their best and most loving behavior. Somehow we all pretend like today should be the perfect day of all days and we should all pretend like we're on a movie. But if you think about holiday movies, it always starts really, really bad. Right? That's every holiday movie. And then all of a sudden at the end, it's like, oh, Eureka, now it's fine. Okay? But it goes on to say that we make ourselves a picture in our mind that involves people behaving in ways they don't usually behave. In a way that's outside of a movie script, the process is likely to be stressful and we are likely to end up disappointed. What about the financial stress? We're talking about family stress and relationship stress. Christmas is a time where people come together and you meet people that you don't normally meet. Listen, sometimes for some people, this is the one time of the year you actually have to be with people you choose not to be with throughout the entire year. Because it's stressful. They make you mad. Okay? It's the time where we feel incredibly financially obligated. Some people feel this incredible sense of obligation to buy somebody a really expensive gift. And that if we don't, then we don't love them. Or maybe somebody will talk badly about us because our gift isn't as expensive. And so we leave the tag on it, so they can see how much we spent. And that it's not a knockoff from eBay. Right? And on and on and on and on it goes. And we just need to understand as we enter into the Christmas season. Christmas started out as a stressful thing. That's what we're learning from Joseph. It started out as something that was difficult for everybody involved. We're looking at Joseph today. We'll get into a few fine points here to help us as we enter into the holiday season. And these are things that we can take throughout the rest of our year as well. But you think about the faith and the patience that Mary needed. Here she is, a young unmarried girl, and all of a sudden she's finding out, oh my goodness, I've got to tell my fiancé that I'm pregnant, and I've got to go out through the rest of my life as the Virgin Mary, so to speak. I have no idea what that would be like, and none of us would understand what that would be like. We've got Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, an old man who's being told that he's going to have a son. Man, the faith that's required, the trust in God that's required. Elizabeth, an old lady, who is far past the years where she would naturally have been able to bear a child. Now she's supposed to have a kid. We've got Simeon in the temple. This old man. And God's telling him, you're going to see my son. You're going to see the son of God, the baby son of God. You're going to see him, the Christ child. But he's old and he's getting older and he's serving the Lord. And he's thinking, is what has God told me, is it really real? What about Anna in the temple? Same story. So when we're looking at the Christmas story and then when we're looking at the wise men, I mean, look, they're following a star. Right? And it's not just that they're following a star, but they've read the prophecies and they believe in their hearts that they are coming to see this Christ child. It's all something. Christmas is a time that oftentimes is promoted as being magical. Okay, it's not magical, it's supernatural. Let's get that out of the way. Disney has the magic, the Bible has supernatural. There's a difference. Okay, there's no spoofle dust that flies out. All right? But we need to understand that sometimes when it comes to Christmas, it can be a stressful time. You may not even know it yet, but you can be entering into one of the most stressful Christmas seasons that you've ever been to. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to prepare you. Some of you have made incredible incredible steps for Christ in your Christian faith. Some of you have made incredible steps for the Lord. And you're going to go into this Christmas season and you're going to encounter some opposition to that from family. One of the things that we encounter in the Christmas season is, hey, why don't you come and do like you've always done? They expect you to act in the way that you've always acted before. They expect you to party. They expect you to drink. They expect you to skip church, even though it's scheduled and you know you should be there and you want to be there, but you've got to say no. Well, I don't want people to think I'm weird. It's too late. They already know you're weird. Stressful. The conflict of Christmas is that we need faith. Sometimes we look at Christmas time as a break, and it is a break in some ways. But in another way, it's a time where we're heading into a challenge, potential challenge. We can see here where the ideal marriage was gone, the ideal celebration, the ideal family approval, the ideal ending to the waiting. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 and verse 6, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Look at what happens here in verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or privily. He finds out that his fiance is pregnant. And according to the Old Testament, he had the right, because it was something that was punishable in that culture and in that particular nation. It was punishable for an unmarried woman who got pregnant to be brought out and to be dealt with publicly. And in this particular case, it would have been death by stoning. I mean, it would have been a big, big deal. This was a capital punishment. And by the way, can I just say this? We serve a moral God. Amen. And there is no apology for that. That is God's plan for every single one of us. And if any of us have made mistakes in the past, God has forgiven us of that, and He wants us to go on in victory. And we can and we should, and God doesn't look at us in any other way. But in this particular time, this was the Old Testament law. Aren't we thankful that we have the New Testament time where God deals with us, yes, in a moral sense, but yes, with grace and mercy as well. Amen.
Okay?
So He's trying to decide what to do. He's trying to understand and trying to comprehend exactly what's going on. The human explanation of what happened is that she'd been raped, or she'd been fooling around, or something happened. That's the human explanation. And he knows what the Bible kind of tells him what the right thing to do is, or maybe what the law says to do. But he's not willing to make a public example of her. He loves her, and he's not willing to do that. And so he just thinks about it. Can I say this? Is that in the upcoming Christmas time, in the stressful holiday season, you will have a choice to either follow God or not follow God. You will have a choice to do the right thing or the wrong thing. It's clear. And sometimes in a stressful situation, the conflict of Christmas oftentimes is that we're faced with making a decision that ends up becoming public. I'm publicly identifying as a Christian. I'm publicly identifying with Christ. I'm publicly identifying with making a Bible decision. But can I say that can be done in such a way where it's not nasty? Can I say that God can give us wisdom on how to deal with these particular situations? Let's just throw this one out there. You've always drank in the past. You've always gone to holiday times in the past, and everybody's always expect you to drink it up and live it up and act the way that you've always lived. And going to church, why would you go to church on Sunday? Why would you go to church during the Christmas season? Stay with us and come on over and let's do like we've always done and let's go out and let's live like that. And here it comes. You know it's coming, and you know that it's coming, but you know what God says too. And you know the steps that you've taken in your Christian life. And you know what God wants you to do, and you can be nasty about it. And you can just say, bless, you can do the, at least in the Southern tradition, you always say, bless God. Bless God, I'm not doing that right. And you just kind of, throw a little holy tantrum. Okay? And Joseph could have easily done that. And can I say this? This is the first point on dealing with the conflict of Christmas. It can be something huge. It can be something as small as just a personality. Look, there are some people that we love that we just don't like. Amen? Amen. We can say it. It's just us. And I know I'm recording, but nobody knows your voice, so it's going to be okay. Right? And sometimes it can just be something like just a personality thing. There's just somebody that rubs you the wrong way. Sometimes it can be travel. In a time when there's so much stress to make it perfect. Look, if it was perfect, why couldn't it just be perfect? Why does it have to be so stressful? Why can't it just happen perfectly? It doesn't happen perfectly. It's stressful. So the first point is this. We have to stay just. Stay just. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 1. Look it with me in verse number 18. You guys come on in, no worries. We're in Matthew chapter number 1, look at verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. This, when it's talking about that he was just, it means that he was equitable, he was in a moral sense, he was upright, he was honest, he conformed exactly to the laws. To the laws of God. It means he followed the Old Testament. In an evangelical sense, it meant that he was righteous, that he was religious, he was influenced by a regard to the laws of God, living in exact conformity to the laws of God. Can I say that in the conflict that he had when he found out that Mary was pregnant, he did not say, okay, I'm just going to ignore what God says. And that's the first point, is stay just. Whatever progress you've made in your Christian life up to this point, don't throw that away over the holidays. Don't throw it away over the holidays. We don't know his age. We don't know Mary's age. Okay? And don't listen to these crazy people out there that want to make Mary out to be some little tiny child that God got pregnant. Okay? God is not immoral like that. He doesn't do wrong things to people. Okay? She was of age to be married. Amen. Let me just get that out there. Man, I'll tell you what, these unbelievers, they just want to make God out to be some monster. He's not a monster. He gave us his son to die on the cross for our sin. He's anything but a monster. We're the monsters. Amen. But in the conflict that he had in his life for the first time, he stayed just. He's not going to throw away what God has done in his life up to this point. Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and 145. I cried with my whole heart. Now, it's talking about prayer. By the way, if you're going to keep God's laws during a stressful time, it could be holiday season, it could be tomorrow at work. This applies to every aspect of life, but it's just within the context of Christmas that we're talking about right now. If we're going to stay just, we need to pray. Look, over the holiday season, don't stop praying. I heard a preacher say this one time, and it's really stuck with me. He said, keep your rhythm. Keep your rhythm. We all get into a rhythm of getting up, going to work, going to church, going to bed. Getting up, going to work, going to church, going to bed. Right? Depending on the day, that's kind of our rhythm. And we stick with our rhythm, and we read the Bible, and we pray, and we tell people about Christ, and we come to church. And we have hiccups, and sometimes things happen, but for the most part, we've got a rhythm. And what happens is, sometimes during holidays, is that everything kind of changes. Our rhythm ends up getting changed because we're not going to work in the same way, or the kids are at home, or whatever it may be, and we're looking forward to the break. And if we're not careful, we will stop following the Lord. Don't stop being just. Pray. I cried with my whole heart. Verse 145. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I will keep your word. I will keep your statutes. Look at Psalm 55 and verse 22. Determine in your heart, you know what? I'm going to do right. I'm not going to be nasty about it, but I'm going to do the right thing. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. We can look at this particular situation and think, man, Joseph, what are you going to do, buddy? What are you going to do about this particular situation? And he said, well, I'm going to maintain my status of being just. I'm not going to stay saved. I'm going to stay acting like I'm saved. That's what he's going to do. He's going to stay acting like he's saved. Maintain your rhythm. Walk with God. Perhaps you can challenge yourself to scripture reading. I wonder how many of us have read through all of the accounts of the Christmas story. Maybe you have. Maybe it'd be a good idea to read through them again. If you're reading with a certain number of chapters and you anticipate some kind of a particular challenge, whether it's a people challenge, a financial challenge, there's so many different challenges that are possibilities in this particular season. Challenge yourself to scripture. Don't just slack off. Look, it's so easy for us to binge. It's easy for me to binge. How many of you guys like to binge? Man, I'm a binger. I know Meek is a binger. We get that, man. I'm telling you what. I mean, how many times a day does it pop up and say, are you still watching this? On Netflix. Seriously? You're still watching, right? That's almost what the message should say. Yes, I'm still watching. This is my day off. Binge until I die, hashtag that, okay? And by the way, it's okay. Take some time. Take some rest. But here's the thing, is that we can't allow ourselves to go from taking rest and then slipping into living in the flesh. Because then we'll be tempted by something. We'll say something we shouldn't say. We'll do something we shouldn't do. We'll watch something we shouldn't watch. we'll drink something we shouldn't drink, and we'll spend what we shouldn't spend. Listen, friends, January's coming. January's coming! The bill's coming, friend. Look, do not sell the entire farm to buy one gift and make one person happy for that one moment and then have to pay it off for the rest of the year. This isn't a financial sermon, but oh my goodness, is this a financial time? Can I say that that's one of the challenges of this particular season? Is because we love our family, we love our friends. Man, I wish that no matter what my kids and what my wife said they wanted. By the way, my wife doesn't ask for anything. Not because I won't get it for her, because I will get it for her, so she doesn't ask me. But don't you wish you could just say, hey, just bring. Oh, sign up for 3 more credit cards? No problem. No problem. Hey, can I raise my limit again for the 3rd time today? There's this really great deal going on, right? We've got to understand that hey, maintain your rhythm, maintain your walk, stay just. Next point, be patient. Be patient. Look at Matthew chapter 1. It says here, but while he thought on these things, he was patient. He was patient. Patience in this story is really just Joseph trusting God until the angel comes to speak to him, revealing truth. I had somebody, I actually preached this sermon on Friday night at Heritage Baptist Church up in Barry to a Christmas banquet. And I had somebody come up to me and they said, I don't think Joseph was patient. And it's like, well, he didn't overreact and drag his wife out as soon as he found out that she was pregnant and not by him, and immediately stone her to death, right? I mean, he didn't do that. So whether or not it was biblical patience in the sense of, oh, he was just trusting God and he knew everything was going to be right. No, he didn't. But he didn't overreact. Okay, he didn't overreact. Can I say, we don't necessarily know what we're headed into. This new year, again, I'm not trying to scare, I'm trying to prepare. Okay, our heart's going to say, look, I'm going to do right. I'm going to set my heart to do right and please the Lord. But number two, I'm going to be patient. Hey, I'm going to be patient with what God is doing in my life. With what God is doing in my life. See, what happens sometimes at Christmas is that it all comes down. It's the end of the year for one. And then we've got this big feeling or expectation, and it's more of a cultural thing more than anything, that it's all supposed to be perfect. It's supposed to be the perfect wedding. We're engaged. She just came back from Elizabeth's house. Oh my goodness, what's that bump? Right? And in every one of our lives, there's that moment where it's like, oh my goodness, what's that bump? There is a realization our life isn't perfect. And the reason why it's not perfect is because God is doing something in our life. God is doing something in our life. Don't overreact. Don't say something you shouldn't say. Be patient with your finances. Be patient with where God has you right now. Be patient in that relationship. Don't force it. Don't force it. God has a plan for you. Listen, friend. God has a plan. Sometimes when it comes to Christmas, we realize, because it's at the end of the year, we're coming out of school, and for the first time, sometimes, since the summertime, we actually have a chance to think. Because we have some time off. You know, it is amazing to me. Everybody look at me, listen. It is amazing to me when people take time off. I've seen it dozens of times in my life. Dozens may be a bit of an exaggeration. But several times I've seen this. And you probably have too. Where somebody will take time off from work. They'll take time off from their schedule. And they'll go on a vacation, or they'll go away, or they'll be gone for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And then they come back and everything in their life changes. They come back and they've got time to think, and they've got time to reconsider, and they've got some problems. And they may or may not decide, I'm going to do this God's way. But they come back, and they change everything. They move. Be very careful. Be very careful in your time off that you don't end up moving out of God's plan. Joseph, don't run away. He's got a plan. Joseph, you're not the earthly you're not the earthly father to Jesus, but you can be his foster father. You can be his stepdad. He was called the son of the carpenter because Joseph was there. God's got something amazing for your life, and it may not be the ideal thing. It may be that relationship is messed up, and it may always end up being messed up. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan for you in that weird, messed up situation. Don't throw it all away. Don't blow it up. He's got a plan. Trust Him. Be patient. I've been stuck on these verses. I'll read them to you. We've been going over these during the midweek. James 1. Hebrews James. James 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It's trying to say, God uses difficult situations in your life to mature you in your faith. Can I ask you a question? In this particular passage with Joseph, when he was patient with the Lord and he allowed the Lord to do, and he waited on God to reveal to him what was going on, did his faith grow as a result? It did, didn't it? Was he a stronger Christian, a stronger believer, because he was patient and he stayed in God's plan? He was. Was his life better or worse because he stayed in God's plan? Oh man, it was better. He got to be there for the birth of the Son of God. What an amazing, he's a part of the Christmas story forever. God has got a plan for you. Don't throw it away. Last point is this, be teachable. Be teachable. The angel of truth is coming. The angel of truth is coming. What does that mean? That means that you may not understand what's going on in your life right now, and you may even to some degree be able to run away from it because of your busy schedule. But when Christmas time comes, you've got time to think. You've got these expectations of making it into this grand thing. By the way, don't pressure yourself into making Christmas into this perfect, perfect, perfect thing for your kids. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. Hey, they'll be fine. I remember when I was a kid, my dad, we always had one income, single income. And our Christmases as kids, we got to pick out one present, and there was always a price limit. You can have one present from us as a family, from the parents, and there's this much that you can pick out. And my parents would go pick it out, and there would be other little things, and they'd get chocolates and put them in the stockings and all this kind of stuff. And there's this big stocking. And you know what 2/3 of that stocking was? It wasn't chocolate. It was oranges and apples. And you know what? I was okay. It made the chocolate taste that much better. Right? Be patient. Say, Lord, I'm going to do things your way. Be teachable. God is wanting to teach you something throughout whatever is going to happen or whatever is happening or whatever may happen. He wants to teach us something. Be teachable. He waited. Look, Joseph waited. And then God came. He sent an angel. And the angel said, hey, Joseph, this is what's going on. Have you ever just wanted to know, God, what are you doing? Huh? You ever been there? I feel like I'm there every week. Right? What are you doing? You'll never know if you run away from Him. You'll never find out. Last thing. Let me point this out and I'm done. Matthew 1. In verse number 20. It says, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Look at those next two words. Fear. Fear not. You know why we overreact and make dumb decisions on holidays? We're scared. Other times of the year, we can kind of run away from it, sort of. We're just busy. But then when all the people come together, all the financial and all the expectations and all the... Hey, reality kind of sits. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm so scared. And we can make the dumbest decisions because we're scared. The Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Everybody bow your heads, please. Close your eyes.